Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, there's one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does he mean but that he has also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature humanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Just to show that I'm not just a Red Sox homer fan, there was another baseball player that I really liked, and his name was Cal Ripken Jr. And he was, for me and my generation, the Iron Man. I know he is the one who broke whose record for consecutive games? Lou Gehrig, thank you. Just want to make sure everybody knows baseball. Anybody know the number of games? No, I'm just kidding. 2,130 games played. And there were days during that streak of Cal Ripken, and, you know, looking back, you know, one of those times the streak was in danger. There were different times. But in June 1993, Cal Ripken was involved in a bench-clearing brawl. And in Time magazine, Steve Wolf writes, Ripken twisted his knee, and when he woke up the next morning, he couldn't put any weight on it. And he told his wife, Kelly, that he may not be able to play that night. According to Kelly, just before he left for the park, she said to him, maybe you could just play one inning and then come out, you know, trying to be a supportive spouse. And he snapped at her. He said, no, either I play the whole game or I don't play at all. And she said, just checking, dear. And Ripken did play all nine innings that night. In fact, he played 99.2% of every Orioles game since the streak began. Anytime we pursue grand and great things, we face the temptation of lowering our standards just enough to get by. Cal Ripken had committed himself to walking worthy of the title of baseball's Iron Man. And in the scripture, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he reminds them that they are supposed to be walking with a title that's worthy, or walking into a title that's worthy of, and walking in a worthy way of that title of following God, walking worthy in the way in which God had placed onto them, not to lower or change the standard that getting by was not good enough. And in pursuit of this, in doing this, Paul knew that the church in Ephesus would find, and will find out, that it was able to live in their faith, in their life of faith together in a better way. So being worthy, walking worthily of the call, was a way for this faith to like help them be more together. But just a quick, brief historical context of Ephesus. Ephesus was an important city with great political, religious power. There were three temples that were built for worship of the Roman emperor. One of the largest temples in Ephesus was dedicated to Artemis or Diana. And so it was actually one, I think that's one of the wonders of the world. The Ephesians placed major emphasis on the idea of spirituality, and they there was a lot of astrology and magic going on. And so if you want to, you know, Acts 19 kind of gets into Paul being in that area. But there was, they'd actually have these little spells that they would write on papyri, and they could, the sorcerers would cast spells. And so it was a place that it was pretty hard to be a follower of God. Ephesus was a place where it was, you know, pretty tough, you know, to kind of be of this new religion or this new faith. It was a dark situation. And it's also, it would tell us that we can walk, but he was saying to them that they can walk worthily of the call, even in this hard, dark situation that they find themselves, and bring glory to God no matter what they're going through. And so he said to them, how are we supposed to actually do this thing called be the body of Christ? And that's what Paul gets into. It's one thing to say that Jesus broke down hostility between people, but people are still different. In chapter 4, Paul turns the corner in the book of, you know, in the book of Ephesians, and he gets practical. And I know last week practical was not a good thing, but this week it is a good thing. Just to keep you on your toes, you know, just in case you start to get too comfortable. Look what he said, you know, in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, I urge you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We need to take a minute and focus on that in statement. It's so important. But Paul reminds us that it takes effort. Just like with Cal Ripken, it took effort to get up every single day and play baseball through injuries and all that's going on. So Paul reminds the Christians in Ephesus that it's, you know, it takes effort to live worthy of the call. So we have work to do, and we're capable of doing it, but how do we walk worthy? I want to answer that question with one word: together. How do we walk worthily? We do it together. We walk together. We're being made into one body. We're being called to walk in this path together. And in that spirit, there's three aspects of walking together as the body that I want to focus in on. First, together does not mean the same. And I'm not sure where the idea of togetherness means being the same. Wherever that idea came from, it's a great disservice to the world. Verse 7 tells us that we all been given different gifts. The body of Christ is diverse. That means that you and I are called to be different. We approach life differently, look at problems differently, speak to people differently, because we're all following Christ. 1,000 pianos tuned to a fork are then automatically tuned to each other. They don't all sound the same, right? But they're all in the key. They're all C, right, Wayne? So all the pianos aren't going to sound the exact same, but they're all tuned to the same fork. We are in the world, but not of the world. We ourselves, each of us, are different, and we're brought together by God's love, formed into one body through Jesus, and gives our lives to live out God's calling in order to glorify God. And our ability to unite and work together for one common purpose, even though we are different, is the reason why it's so amazing and important that we do it. I mean, think about it. Everybody here in this sanctuary has had completely different life experiences. And I love to hear people's story. I want to know how you came here, but how did you get here this morning? This is, you know, how do we get to being right here? Think about it, all the steps. Think about all the millions of steps that brought you here. I'll come back in about a minute. We've all experienced different hurts, tragedies, gone to different schools, maybe lived in different states, different countries, made different choices, had different friends, experienced different upbringing, different home environments, yet here we are, August 1st, 2021, here at South Britton Congregational Church, united in God's word as one body. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. Or did God just direct our paths for a specific reason? We're all here for a reason. Let's look at each other. We could be tempted to look at each other and these different labels that society uses, male, you know, men and women, old, young, rich, poor, gay, straight, married and single, Republican, Democrat, black, white. But as Kierkegaard said, if you label me, you negate me. We only have one label here, and it's Christian. But the truth is that we are each unique individuals created by God. We each have something beautiful and unique to contribute in our own set of weaknesses. We have our own set of junk that we need to be working out. Just like in the human body, all the parts are radically different from each other. That's why Paul, over and over again, always compares it to the body. We don't, you know, lungs don't try to be the brain. That wouldn't go well. When my stomach tries to be the brain, that doesn't go well either. Maybe for other people it works. But we all come from different places and we all have different gifts, but what unites us is that we follow God. We want to be God's presence of love in the world, a ministry of grace in the heart of Southbury. It's our common goal and our common source of love and purpose that unites us. And anything that's a body that's rich and diverse is more healthy than one which is exactly the same. There's lots of great documentaries about this in terms of any forest that doesn't have biodiversity isn't as healthy as ones that have all the different kinds of trees and different, you know, shrubs and mushrooms and all these different things. Diversity is what makes it healthy. Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but look what they do when they can, when they stick together. And each one, every single snowflake is different, right? The world can shut down when they all join together. You didn't think you'd be hearing about snow in August, but you know, you never know what's going to happen. So together definitely does not mean being the same. And this not sameness or insimilarity, which is probably not a word, it's not supposed to, we're not supposed to be. And so together doesn't mean the same, but together does mean that everyone, and this is the second point, everyone contributes. At 11 and 12, he says, you know, everyone was given these different gifts of being apostles, prophets, evangelists, you know, shepherds or pastors, teachers. We know what it's like when you're doing something and someone doesn't contribute, but they try to reap the rewards. I don't know if know some other people were scouts, but there was always that one kid in scouts, right, Ed? Who wouldn't help set up the tents, he wouldn't dig the latrine, he wouldn't hang the bear bags, but guess who was first in line for food? The one in my troop was named Joey, and he was always the first one in line for food, even though he didn't do anything. But many times when people think about church and the work of the church, we think it's just, oh, well, it's just, you know, the leader's jobs, or it's just, or the pastor. I love the one joke of, I only work one day a week. I love that. I've heard that. Ha, ha, ha. Not funny. Okay. I know none of you say that, but that's not the picture that the Bible paints of what leadership in the church is. There's not just one leader. I'm not just the one leader. There are many leaders, and we all have different gifts. Paul talks about roles and skills and gifts and has different lists, like I said, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And there's more lists in other parts. But all of us are, you know, we all have jobs to do. We're all leaders in our own way with different things, and we're all equipped to do the work of the ministry. Everyone in church has something valuable to contribute in time, talent, treasure, no matter how big or small, like we said last week. And our goal is to create ways, places, and spaces for people to use those things to the glory of God. Together means we all pull. It means we all contribute. Together means we are invested in this place, in the relationship for the good of the world. But we all got to toe the line. We all got to pull weight. We all have the very thing needed to make, we all have, each of us has the very thing needed to make it happen, make God's plan on earth happen. So together doesn't mean the same, and together does mean that we all have something unique to contribute. But the third aspect is, together means growing pains. The rest of this passage says we must no longer be children, we must grow up. And growth always brings pain, right? When kids grow, their bones hurt, right? As you get older, your bones hurt for other reasons. But anytime a group of diverse people get together to actually do something productive, to grow in maturity, you can be guaranteed that there's going to be pain. There's going to be conflict. So many great movies for this, but one of my favorite is Remember the Titans, right? Everybody seen that movie? If you haven't, it's a wonderful movie about desegregation in Virginia. And Denzel Washington is the coach. If you like Denzel Washington, it's a good movie too. But there was diversity, and they were trying to do something, and the pressures and the conflict from inside and outside, and it's a beautiful movie when they stand together. But it wasn't that they weren't different, but they came at it in a beautiful way. So there's always going to be growing pains, and that's why in verse 2 Paul begins the whole section with these words that he goes really quickly by, but says with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that middle phrase is the one that's really important, bearing with one another. The New Living Translation says, making allowances for each other's faults. Like, assume that we're going to have things that we disagree about. Assume that we're going to have things in others, you know, to forgive. And assume that we're going to need to be forgiven for things. In other words, a huge part of walking worthy of our calling is learning how to put up with each other. That's kind of funny, actually, when I say it out loud. But it's true. That's a huge part of walking worthy. You know, when we disagree, when we bug each other, like, that's when we are walking worthily of the call, because we're going to work it through. We're going to work it out. Healthy, growing churches are, you know, and are diverse in that way. But how do we do that? Paul says these things, be humility and all these things, but we need the practical. And so he says, I want to close it today by looking at the one phrase that speaking the truth in love, which I think is kind of encapsulates this whole entire passage. There's two ways to kind of interpret this idea. And some people think of truth as an idea that's like an absolute perfect explanation of something. It's this tidy kind of abstract thing out there that we can attain if we think hard enough. Like, we'll figure out the truth. But when we think we've captured the truth, we're not sure if we, you know, beat people over the head with it but gently expose them to the truth in love. But that's the Greek way, the Western way of understanding. But there's a different way in the Hebrew culture. When the Old Testament talks, or the Hebrew Scriptures talks about truth, Jesus talked about truth and Paul talked about truth, they're talking about being truthful. It's more of a character quality and a description of how a person interacts with others than a description of something that's outside. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When Paul says, speaking the truth in love, he's summarizing the whole idea of walking worthy of the call. Because the translation is not exactly right. It's actually a participle, which if you're a language nerd and you want to talk to me after church, I'm happy to get into that. But the translation of it is, you know, truthing in love. It's not just speaking. It's not the way that we say things, but it's truthing in love. It's something that comes into our whole being. It comes into every way that we interact with, not just the words that we say, but our actions. The way that we can walk worthy of the call is that we're living a life that's truthing in love, that's being truthful in who we are, being truthful about who other peoples are and the differences that we may have. We're a diverse group of people growing up together, and each one of us is contributing who we are and what we have and bearing with each other along the way. God has called us to be worthy of the title of Christian, followers of God. And Christian means little Christ. But I'm so glad that we get to do it together. And the way to be together and be different in a way to be together and to contribute in a way to be together and growing through challenges and to be a group in Southbury, in the state, in this country, in this world that's truthing in love, that's living out truth in our relationship to another. And it's being who we are by letting others be. And as the hymn, which is much shorter than I remember, blessed, are there more verses of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds? No, okay, Judy Grimes is like, no. But that's the idea, like letting the love of God be the tie that binds and caring for each other in this world. That's what being worthy of the call, walking worthily means. Let's try to do that. Amen.